This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one on What's Trending. We're going to get into this more after this, but the NFLPA grades were released, right? These are voted on anonymously by players, and the Chiefs have graded really poorly on this since it was implemented. 77% of players, it looks like, voted on this. The Chiefs moved up five spots. They're still 26, but they moved up five spots in the annual NFLPA survey. The best category for them, A+ head coach, which is probably not surprising there. Nutrition and dietitian, A-, that's up to fifth. That was a poorly graded one. Owner, C-, he was an F- a year ago. We'll talk more about this, but they did move up and improve in multiple areas.
Next up on Watch Training, you got a big win last night. It's a big team, but getting back on the right way over South Carolina, the biggest SEC win in the college basketball season, winning by almost 30. Easy for the Tigers, who will continue their way to the SEC tournament, currently projected to be a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. Kansas State versus UCF tonight, 5 o'clock pregame right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Next on What's Trending, Sporting Kansas City unfortunately eliminated from the CONCACAF Champions Cup with a 3-1 loss last night to Inter Miami. It's now 4-1. Aggregate. So that tournament run was short-lived for Sporting. They'll pick up MLS play Saturday at home, Children's Mercy Park, against San Jose.
Are they going to be really bad again?
Hopefully not, but it's not a great start. I mean, like Inter Miami is very good, but they lost last Saturday to Austin in the first MLS game. This will be the second MLS game on Saturday.
So I will say, it's early. Soccer-related, I did see, I guess getting in the anthem game is working for him. Do you see that, like, each city will have their own host city song? Tech N9ne is involved in the World Cup host city song.
Oh, for the
world. They released a teaser that's like 30 seconds long.
Okay.
And I guess the full thing will be released here soon.
I mean, it makes sense that he would be involved in that if we're going to have to.
Again,
he's
getting in the anthem game.
Are you mad that you weren't consulted? Is that what this is? And were you expecting a World Cup song?
I can't produce music. I don't know how to do that.
What would your song be? What do you think you would start with if you're doing a song about soccer?
Man.
Kansas City.
I mean, you got to call it football if you're doing a World Cup song. I'm just sorry.
Okay.
You got to go by the proper term.
Mm.
For that. Mm-hmm. For the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I have to think about it. Maybe I'll actually try to release an opposing one to Tech N9ne and let the people decide which one's actually the better thing.
Uh-huh.
Next up on What's Trending, Titans say they will let veteran linebacker Harold Landry seek a trade this offseason. This makes like 3 or 4 veterans. We know Cooper Kupp and some others who have been told by their teams they can go seek a trade. He had 10.5 sacks last year. He's had double-digit sacks on average each of the last 3 seasons. I imagine he'll have some takers out there. He's still got 2 years left on his deal. In the 20s for each of the next year, like $24 million each of the next 2 years. They say they'll let him go seek a trade. Going to clean a little more house. Get the picks back. You're smart. Trade Landry. Start fresh. You're way behind the eight ball if you're Borgonzi. You got a few years left before regular competition.
Lastly, on What's Trending, don't forget, next Friday, a week from this Friday, we've got our fun Cody and Gold bar tab hangout at Kelly's in Westport. We mentioned, hey, we appreciate you guys listening to the show. We found out we're number one in our time slot and our demographic for the last couple of months, and so we wanted to give back to you guys a little bit. So we will have a bar tab opened up next Friday night at Kelly's beginning at 6:30. We'll continue to give you more details and a heads up on that. But if you're looking for something to do next Friday, you're getting off of work, you want to come by, have some free drinks until the bar tab is exhausted. It's not a small tab either. It's not like we're not saying, oh, $200 tab. No, $1,000 tab.
250 of that is fireball related, so prepare accordingly. I have decided that, I mean, we can't be doing shots for the whole thing. Regular drinks for the other 750, right? We can't just be doing, you know,
depends like, how many people show up, I guess.
Yeah, you know what? That's a great point. If there's a bunch of you, maybe it's a little bit different. I don't know how many of you are going to show up. If you're planning on coming, let us know. 913-586-7965 or hit us up on social media.
There you go. That's What's Trending. Someone wanted us to include one more thing in What's Trending. We try not to be, you know, sad and depressing in What's Trending. Someone said, R.I.P. Harriet the Spy. I was like, what do you, what? I get, so Harriet the Spy, for those who know, was a popular movie in the 90s. Nickelodeon. I had
there's
the Nickelodeon.
Been a, there's a reboot. There's an Apple TV series.
Oh, I haven't seen that
currently.
One. I've only seen the one on Nickelodeon back in the day.
With Michelle Trachtenberg?
Unfortunately, I guess she passed away. That's why someone said that.
She's only 39 years old. That's she apparently really recently sad. Had a liver transplant. Oh. So maybe they're not investigating it as suspicious, but like, man, that's
39
sucks.
Years old.
My wife loved that movie when she was a kid. I think it like appeals to all the like nerdy kids in the world where you're like, oh, she keeps little notes and tabs on the neighborhood. It was a huge hit for Nickelodeon at the time.
I remember the movie.
Yeah, I saw it.
Came in the orange Nickelodeon VHS. Remember back when Nickelodeon was doing like the orange VHS tapes? That was one, that and Good Burger, I think, were the ones they put in the orange VHS.
I saw that in theaters too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I saw that one in the theater that doesn't even exist anymore, the old Seville Theater, Square down at the Plaza. There used to be like a 3-screen or 4-screen theater down there by Mr. Bulky's on the low level.
Man, Mr. Bulky's, another throwback.
Man. You can still get bulk candy, but it doesn't feel the same.
No,
you know?
It's where I fell in love with the gummy twin cherry candy, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's the first place I ever had them, Mr. Bulky's. Now you can just go on Amazon and I can get them shipped or whatever if I'm really craving that. Don't forget, it's the lunch hour, of course, here on Cody and Gold. And Jefferson's has a brand new happy hour that's here to save you some money. 7 days a week, you can enjoy half off appetizers and half off your bar tab at Jefferson's Lenexa and Jefferson's North Kansas City. Half off your bar tab at both locations during happy hour. They're our official lunch partner here on Wednesdays on Cody and Gold. Jefferson's Wings, Burgers, Oysters. So I mentioned the NFLPA grades. It's a couple years they've been doing this. I think to say, are they working? Yeah, I think you would have to say yes, because some of the team's grades have improved because of improvements in the facility. If that was the ultimate goal, then yeah, I think it's working. Am I still skeptical on like how they're grading out the head coach and the owner? Yes, I still am like, you know, what the ones that matter are the, you know, the training staff and how do they feel their families are being treated and things like that. The, you know, first year it came out when the locker rooms were graded poorly. And remember, we're talking about the locker room at the practice facility, not the Arrowhead, which one has been renovated. When it was like they thought the seat was like not soft enough or big enough, like that kind of stuff. I think a lot of people, the average person, will roll their eyes at that, right? They're saying, okay, give me a break. But they're also looking at their peers and how their peers are treated. So this year, the Chiefs moved up 5 spots to number 26 in this annual survey. Here were the categories. Treatment of families was a B-. They're 15th. And you might think that that's not good. That's actually improvement. That's actually improvement from where it was. So we're talking about, they added full-time daycare on game day, basically. So a year ago, it was D+, treatment of families. A year ago, nutritionist and dietitian was an F, Cody. It's A-. Training staff was an F. It's now a C. Excuse me. And team travel was a D. It's now a B. Ownership was an F.
Travel got better.
Ownership was an F-. It's now a C-.
Okay, so obviously the initial thoughts are you improved in some areas. They didn't like your diet plan. You hired a full-time dietitian. Now people think you've got good diet work. Makes sense. Honestly, stunned. Borderline stunned to find out that a professional NFL team worth billions of dollars, whose job is to make sure that people are in peak physical condition to perform an athletic task, you're here to tell me they didn't have a full-time dietitian? What?
I just assumed every team had that.
What? Like, I can't even believe that wasn't the case. So, yeah, you know what? Honestly, we might joke about these things as being, like, completely nonsense in some areas. wasn't there, exposed the fact that they didn't have a full-time dietitian, and now they do. The ownership one is the funniest one to me. Clark had an F-minus last year after they won a Super Bowl. They had won a Super Bowl, and he got an F-minus. And this time, he got a C.
I hope you guys are happy. You know what?
Honestly, they might have really cared about those stools or chairs.
I hope you guys are happy. You know, I hope that's the case. I hope fans are happy. I'm sure they're thrilled in New York that maybe in a certain market that their team has better locker rooms, but they had nothing to show for it. All right. Nothing to show for it. I don't know about you. The year they were winning Super Bowls, Cody, they got worse grades. They win a Super Bowl, they move up five spots.
So you think the fact that they made it too comfortable?
That's right.
Now that they
got
daycare and dietitians, they're not as hungry.
That's what it is,
man. Not as desperate.
That's clearly what it was, why they came up short in the Super Bowl. It's all that. I'd rather my owner get an F-minus grade and win Super Bowls than bump it up to a C and lose in Super Bowls. That's how I'm approaching this. The top team was the Miami Dolphins at A+. I'm sure their fans are thrilled with what they're getting out of that A+ rating. I'm sure they're incredibly thrilled. The Jets were at F, which is fitting all the way around. But I'm sure some of those other teams at the top are so happy they got A+s for their owners when their team isn't making the playoffs.
Serious question. Do you think Clark Hunt cares what his ranking is? Like what grade he gets?
I think people care about how they're perceived.
And you're like, damn.
Is this player-based?
The hell?
Yeah, this is all player-based.
Like 75% of play. I think anybody,
but especially in someone in a position like that, I think you absolutely care what the perception is.
I guess what's funny about it is, obviously, other than the Chiefs, all the teams ranking in the bottom are bad teams. Makes sense, right? I mean, it's like Panthers, not the Bucks or the Steelers, so that was the case. Jets, Browns, Patriots, and Cardinals. The one thing that comes up here that came up the last time is you are statistically far more likely to be at the bottom of this list if you are an inherited owner of an NFL team versus one who bought it. And I probably assume that there's some part to like Tepper doesn't, and he's at the bottom of this list, but like most of the guys don't care about the money and they'll just like buy you whatever you want, right? Like, yeah, shiny, flashy things.
Because Tepper is not inherited.
But the other part, I'm just saying like most cases, I would say. I just said statistically, there's obviously anomalies on both sides. Because the Packers are just owned by the people, right? And they're seventh on the list. I imagine if they just built a new stadium, like that would solve.
Well, a lot of the categories.
80% of the categories in which they come up short. Travel's fine. Daycare's now fine. Diet's fine. What are the problems? I don't have stools versus chairs.
A lot of the categories are related facilities. It's diet, food, dining area, locker room, training room, weight room.
Can't create more space.
Those are a lot of areas. And yeah, if the Chiefs had a brand, look at the Raiders got an A+ rating or A- rating on this thing. Well, they have a brand new stadium and a brand new practice facility. So yes, if the Chiefs had a new stadium and practice facility, that would solve a couple of these ratings in a heartbeat.
Clark would probably go up higher.
And I still think when it comes to the Chiefs practice facility, from a business sense, it makes sense. Would you want to put in $80 million for a renovation on a practice facility if you think there's a chance that if your stadium's going to be moved across the state line, potentially?
I'm not putting a new engine in my car if I'm not planning on keeping it. And I know that's maybe water pump.
No, but I understand.
Whatever the problem is, you just go get a new car instead if you're planning on getting a new one anyway.
But that's my point. So like the practice facility thing, it is what it is until they find out what their future is, either at the Truman Sports Complex or if it is, in fact, going to be Kansas.
I'm worried about you. Are you okay?
I ate some chips during the break.
Dude, you sound like you're dying. What were the chips made of? Saltiest substance on the planet?
So it's the end of the month, and our office does like a birthday lunch for people's birthdays or February, which is none of us on the show. But they put out food and everything. And one of the sides was chips. So I grabbed a couple handfuls of chips. Right? Why not?
You're a big chip guy, sure.
Yeah, and they were like the corn chips, you know, like tortilla corn chips or whatever. Clearly, it's been a problem for me during the break there. So I'm drinking out of this Jefferson's cup as much water as possible. And
it is the lunch hour.
I feel better right this second.
Yeah, but I'm worried if you try to we should try to avoid.
Well, I'm done eating. I'm done eating.
No, but I was saying we should try to avoid any argument in which you might have to get amped up a little bit. You know, I'm worried you'll lose your voice again if you get a little too excited.
I don't know, man.
Might lose it a little bit.
I feel like the coughing is done. Whatever was stuck there, a little piece of chip, we're good.
Loosened it up.
Yeah, I think we're good. Yeah, I appreciate the concern. We're fine.
I can't have you dying in the middle of the show.
That'd be awkward for you.
I wouldn't continue to do the show. We'd just be like,
the show must go on.
We're going to Fox Sports.
Thinking of that, did you see the story? And there's been a lot of airline news recently, unfortunately, with FAA mess. And there was another close call today, I guess, on an American Airlines flight at Reagan. Scary stuff. Anyway, somebody They were sitting in a plane next to a dead person for 4 hours. Did you see this?
4 hours?
Now, this was not an American Airlines or American airline period. Yeah.
Did they know they were dead?
Let me get the details again, but it reminded me when you brought up that.
Did they know they were dead? Like, because if not, then let me off.
Here we go. A woman died mid-flight. They had to sit next to her body until the flight. What are you going to do?
Is there not another seat available?
Here we go. So this
can I sit in the cockpit? Put me anywhere.
So a passenger unfortunately collapsed. Oh my goodness. I got to make an account to read this freaking article. Hold on. I'm trying to read an article. A couple says they were forced to sit next to a dead body for hours. A passenger unexpectedly died on a flight from Australia. Their body remained seated next to him, next to a couple for hours. The incident occurred during a 15-hour flight from Melbourne to Doha. Qatar Airlines extended condolences to the passenger's family and apologized for any distress caused. Maybe there wasn't an open seat, Cody. What are they going to do, stuff the corpse in the bathroom?
I actually think that they should get moved to one of the emergency rows. You have agreed to help in an emergency. This is on you now. If I'm a person who sat in a regular seat.
Seats are full.
Taking no responsibility. Yeah, switch. The dead body goes to the emergency row, and somebody who agreed to help in case of emergency got to deal with the dead body. You know what? I think it's a fair way to do it. I did not agree to help in emergency. I'm just sitting row C.
This woman, though, like they don't want to move the body that much. Like, she collapsed. Unfortunately, she dies. They put her up in the seat. They cover her.
Could you just put her in, like, the bathroom?
I just said they can't throw her in the bathroom.
And just lock? Just close it?
No. They covered her with a blanket and for the rest of the... It's a 15-hour flight. They can't just turn around in the middle of the ocean. They were closer to going to the destination, probably. They were 4 hours away.
I think, to Cody's point...
Put it in the bathroom. Put it in the emergency row. You can't let me sit next to a dead body with a blanket over its head.
Don't put her in the bathroom. Don't put them in the bathroom.
Where do you guys want them to put the body? The seats are full.
I think Cody is right. Where the emergency row, be like, hey, we have an extreme emergency situation. It was fully full. It was packed.
15-hour flight. Usually these are full planes. Yeah.
I think we need more investigation, because if there was any open seat, you could finagle the seats enough to where they're in the row by themselves.
Like, I think that they should make a one-time FAA rule that at least I can sit in the jump seat in the cockpit. Like, you can't make me sit directly next to a dead body.
Here's the detail. I mean, this is terrible, obviously. 10 hours into the flight, a woman exited the restroom, collapsed just right there after going to the bathroom, and died in front of them.
Ugh.
They did everything they could, but unfortunately the lady couldn't be saved, which was pretty heartbreaking to watch. The flight crew then put the woman's body in an empty seat next to a couple for the remaining 4 hours of the flight. They looked a bit frustrated. Then they just looked at me and saw seats were available beside me. My wife was on the other side. We were in a row of four. They said, can you move over, please? Yeah, no problem. Then they didn't know they're about to place the body next to them.
That's way worse.
First off, I think that you agree to an emergency. I stand by this. You handle every emergency. I don't care what it is. You sit in those seats. You've made your peace. And I sit in those seats sometimes. You've made your decision. But
So you want
there's
any emergency?
Jump seats for seats for the
flight attendants.
The flight attendants. Can't they just go in one of those? I think we got to move this body away from regular people, dude.
So put the body in the front of the plane.
Yes.
Any way that you can.
Well, you're going to get it off first, aren't you?
Too close to first class, probably. They probably didn't want to, mess up their vibes up there, you know?
Dude, you better be offering me tickets for life. Like, I better be... The lawsuit I would rain down upon you.
For what, emotional distress?
If you made me sit next to a dead body with a blanket over
it
for 4 hours.
The problem, I think, is... The fact is that, according to what you said, they asked them to move over and then put them in the seat next to...
Yeah, they said
that is a lawsuit.
There was an empty 100%. Seat, one empty seat next to this couple. The flight attendants came by and said, do you mind scooting over? We need this seat. They said, sure, no problem. Then the dead body comes and is sitting next to
them. See...
Was that the original seat for the lady?
I do not know.
Because that would be a fault.
I do not know.
Yeah, if you're putting her in original. Screw that, dude. Bad luck. You can't be putting her in my row if she wasn't sitting next to me originally.
I think I would have.
That's why.
I think I would have, the couple sounded like they were pretty calm about it. I think I would have flipped out. I'd be like, there's no way you're sitting me next to this dead person for the next 4 hours of the flight.
At the very least, you'd be like, lady, right now, I don't know how many airplane bottles of Jack you got back there, but you better start giving them to me now for the rest of this flight.
I'm not paying for anything.
Grab a fistful, and then when you come back here in a few seconds, throw a few more fistful at me, because I'm not doing this. I think I'd be like you. I would be losing it. If they were just like, Here's this. I'm sorry.
Does this person have a heart attack? Like they said, she left the restroom and then she just collapsed and just died.
You know, things happen, especially like altitude. Like different stuff can happen with your body too. Who knows?
Yeah.
Like, I just, 10 hours into the flight.
I wonder. I do wonder though. Is that did the flight attendants get together and at least talk through the options, or was that option number one where hey, can
they probably didn't want the body next to them?
The safety and the comfort of our passengers is of paramount importance to us, is what it says.
As Qatar Airlines. You're not doing what they did.
I don't know.
Someone says a toilet area or gallery area could be blocked off, but said the crew are required to keep a certain number of toilets available. Okay, so we break the one FAA rule this time. Dead body. Are there not contingencies? There are no, like, we can't alter one small thing? Like, because, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. Someone said the person they interviewed for this, who's like an experienced flight attendant, said in their experience, a crew would normally try to isolate the body.
Oh, I thought you were about to say ice the body. I thought you were about to say, okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
For the respect and the privacy and for medical reasons.
Yeah. So.
Also, isn't there like a health violation? Like, I'm assuming it can't be good for me. Health wise,
it's only 4 hours. Oh, what do you think is going to happen to you?
No, man,
that's 4 hours. What do you health wise? You can look. You can sue for emotional distress. What health emergency were you having sitting next to a dead body?
I'm having a panic attack. That's for sure.
Emotional distress. You're not going to catch a disease because you're sitting next to a dead person for 4 hours. At that point, is the smell hitting you yet?
I mean, I think so.
That's what I'm wondering. That's what I'm wondering.
Like, because they say so. They say you.
Not always, but sometimes. Can evacuate your bowels.
That's right.
Is that the way you're trying?
Yeah, I was going to say crap yourself, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm. Someone said, oh, geez, the text line's got some fun puns now. You see the top text? No, it was not a trip there. Someone says, was it a trip to Corpus Christi? No, it was not. It was a trip to Doha from Melbourne, Australia.
I do think, Gold, there'd be a point like of...
Someone said, just throw them in the cargo hold. They can't just... they can't treat the body like... trash.
Also, like, real quick question. You know, people always say, like, chivalry's dead. Is an ultimate act of chivalry... Let's just say they ask you to scoot over. Your wife's in the middle seat now. You're in the... You're
oh,
the
I think
middle.
You have to.
No!
Your wife... You have to take...
Yes.
Follow-up question. Do you have to switch seats with your wife to sit next to the dead body so they don't have to?
Yes.
I think I actually think it's just dependent on which person is freaking out more. I do not think that this is a gendered chivalry thing, and this is just a who... can handle it better.
Now, they were 10 hours in the flight. Like, I'm just like, this flight, they already had their meal probably, but otherwise, like, what are they going to come by? Like, would you like some more peanuts? And you're just like, oh, sure, let me reach over the dead person and grab the peanuts on this flight or whatever.
I mean, could you fundamentally focus on any? Like, no. I would try to put like a movie on or something, but that's not going to work.
No, you would just, it would be the most miserable 4 hours of your life, I think.
You'd
on a
be
flight.
Counting, you'd be looking at your watch constantly.
You're not going to put on a movie. Let me put on a comedy. Let me go put on a comedy and watch that while there's a dead person.
I'm not
next
a movie person.
Now,
anyway.
A hell of a story the rest of your life. The rest of your life, it's unbelievable.
I don't even know if you'd be able to, like, because normally for me, I know everybody's a little bit different. I don't know what you guys do on a flight. If you are always movies, if you're music only. I'm music only. I don't know if I'd
on
be flights? Able to.
Oh, I watch movies and stuff.
I don't know if I'd be able to constant. I don't know if I'd be able to.
Someone said, moral of the story, yeah, neither of you could be
to
nurses.
Pay attention.
Nurses or work in ER based on how you guys are talking. Look, here's the thing. And props to those of you that do, but you kind of expect that. You know there's a chance that could happen in your job. I'm just a random dude on the flight. I don't expect a dead person right there next to me.
I'm not freaked out by a dead person when I'm at a funeral. I anticipated the dead body being there. I'm flying.
Someone says, watch
an
Weekend at Bernie's. No, I hear you.
That'd be like in a funeral, they asked me for 4 hours to lay next to it in the casket. Like, there's a difference.
How would you feel if they were still, like, on the plane? Like, if you knew they were on the plane, obviously,
weird,
that'd be weird,
awkward.
But at least you don't
normally
see
next
it.
To me.
Yeah. Now, this was on an overseas flight. If this was, like, Spirit Airlines, they might have just opened the door and tossed the body out. They might have. I'm not sure. They might have just done that on Spirit. They might have.
Just toss it. Crank the window down. I like it. Not even, like, realistic ways planes work. Ugh. That's a nightmare. That sounds horrible. Not what we were planning on talking about. We're going to talk about the Royals' playoff chances, but we can do that with her.
We got a little sidetrack, but you brought up, am I going to be all right from choking on a chip? And it reminded me of the person that died on a flight that I saw yesterday.
You die now, and then I got to do the next 90 minutes while Gold's body is dead there. Like, well, we'll get it eventually. Coming up next, we'll talk to Josh Vernier.
So you were saying similar in this situation. You would almost have to be you'd be held hostage in the studio. No, you're finishing these. You're finishing the show. So it's an hour and a half. You're finishing the rest of it.
Sometimes, you know, the hand of the corpse, like, all of a sudden it just slowly, like, leans. There's a little turbulence. The body shifts. It's on you.
I mean, I would hope they'd, like, strap it down or something.
What, you think they put the seatbelt on the corpse? No way.
You have to, dude.
Well, you think they buckled
have
in?
Have to.
You think they buckled in the corpse?
Yes. I think they might, like, ratchet strap it.
Oh, my.
You got to make sure it's not flying around. It's like a loose piece of luggage. They make you put your thing in the overhead bin.
Okay. Maybe.
Man. Yeah.
I feel like we need to move on from this conversation.
Well, it's time to go to a break anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
Perfect.
Up next, we'll talk about the track record of getting back to a postseason for the Royals. Plus, we'll talk to Josh Vernier out in Arizona next. We're going to head out to Arizona here in about 10 minutes or so. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. He's got his hot stove show coming your way tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
I'm going to ask him what he thinks about dead bodies on a plane.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, it's one of the all-time stories. One of the all-time stories. My guess is our buddy Troy will say he was on that flight and had to deal with that.
He actually died and had to come back to life.
Well, yeah.
And then no, he was
part of the couple that got had to sit next to him, actually. Jeez.
Have we seen any more about him? Has he made up any more lies? Have you been following it?
I think he moved on.
Did he block
as if
you?
He didn't fake being on a plane crash.
I'm going to have to friend him just so I can.
Oh,
well,
he didn't unfriend me. He didn't block me.
Okay.
Nope. He's moving on with his life as if he didn't make up he was in a plane crash. Nope. No big deal.
Just not acknowledging that.
Nope. Just moving on with life. Till the next lie.
Is he at the combine?
No.
Did they ask him to, like, work out to be the Jets quarterback or, like?
Nope. Haven't seen anything like that, man. No.
The Jets actually wanted him to replace anybody who they're losing on the defensive line, because if we remember, he's the defensive end.
No, the gear is...
Yeah, they wanted him to come out of retirement.
He probably can't keep track of all the lies, though. That's the point.
Yeah, no, the gear is currently parked. And if you don't know the story, last week on the show, you can check out a podcast from last Friday. We talked about it with Mackenzie Nelson as well. Just a wild media story is all that is. All right, let's talk about the Royals before Vern joins us as well, because you were looking back a little bit at some trends, how teams that make the postseason fare the following year. We know the Royals had their first postseason appearance since 2015.
And it's not good. Like, I wanted to come on here and be like, you know what? When you start making the playoffs in Major League Baseball, oh boy, do you start ripping them off. No, it's 50% from last year. It's around that number over the last 5 years in all of baseball. But I think the biggest and scariest part about it for me is that that's including teams that go every year and have the financial ability to do so. For instance, the Dodgers are juicing these stats because the Dodgers go to the playoffs every year, Gold. They're not part of the 50%. They're immediately discounted. For the most part, I would say the Yankees are not a part of the 50%. They have a $300 million payroll. They're not worried about whether or not they're going to make the postseason or not. So really, in true odds perspective, over the last 5 years, the Royals' chances historically to go back to the postseason are like 35% or 40%. It is a much tougher hill to climb. And we'll ask Vern this in a second. What, other than injury, which is, I just say, anybody's case,
sure,
any year, what's the pitfall? What is the reason why that these teams are missing? And a lot of times I think it's because it is hard to be consistent for 162 games two times in a row. It is easy to blow seven or eight more games and 162 chances, Gold, miss the playoffs by four games. It's not like it's a small statistical variance that can cause you to miss the postseason.
Yeah, it doesn't take much.
Sometimes.
It's going to be a close race again. I mean, we've seen the projections that are out there for this division that had three playoff teams. There's a lot of people that believe it's going to be three, four teams within five games of each other again in a really tight race. So that leaves little margin for error. I think most Royals fans, though, if you would say the percentage of making it back, they'll say, well, yeah, I mean, depending on how old you are, if you're my age, I've seen the Royals in the playoffs three times. That's it. In 34 years.
Yeah,
so
the big market teams, the Astros, don't have a hard time going back consistently.
But we always point out what happened in 2002 has zero bearing on the 2025 team, or what didn't happen in 2017 has no bearing on this team now.
But I'm just saying, the last 5 years, you're not likely to get back to the postseason if you're a playoff team.
I hear you. Now, I still think if you're a fan, I don't know how your expectation is not playoffs and or winning the division. I told you my expectation is for them to win the division. It'll be a disappointment if they do not make the postseason. This is a team that comes into the year with a very similar roster, but they added a leadoff hitter. Their bullpen looks like it's going to be way better. The question will be, without Brady Singer, what's the rotation look like? Does Lugo regress? Does Walker regress? And yeah, as you said, the health. the rest of the division, if the Tigers would have gone out and got Alex Bregman, I would say, oh boy, they're the favorites. They're the favorites to go out and win this division. But they didn't. They're going to be competitive. They got some really young, talented players still that are like eligible for Rookie of the Year, even, that got some playing time last year there in Detroit. They just didn't play enough games, I think, to be eligible. So they're still eligible this year. And we all know that Minnesota, when they're healthy, for them, their middle of the order is about as good as anybody in the division. So it's gonna be very, very close. I don't think you should let your past Royals fandom make you think that this team is not capable of going back to back. Because if you're just saying, oh, that's crazy, they never go back to back other than 14 and 15. I understand that, but I think this year's team is better positioned to do that than even help. Maybe even next year's team, depending on how we see Lugo and these guys pitch. Like, this to me is that could still be their best shot at a postseason again for a year or two. I understand you're excited about Jack Caglione and everything, but there's a chance that the starting pitching is not as good in a year from now. And the Salvi's a year older. I know that for a fact he'll be a year older. So, like, that would be my concern. I think this is a year for them to really make some hay.
That is how age works. I do think that I think because they have a qualified major league lineup that could return for all of next year, and the entire rotation can pretty much return under contract if they want to next year, that another year of developing your system, I likely think that they are in a better spot this year. The other part about this is the Central, as you mentioned. Last year, the Cleveland Guardians, Royals, and they had three, right? And the Tigers all made the postseason.
Yeah, because the Twins fell off a cliff.
None of those teams made the postseason the year before. So that's three brand new teams.
Well, the division as a whole was a shock, right?
Yeah. And then the year before that, Minnesota, as we had mentioned, made it. The year before that, it wasn't Minnesota. It was Cleveland. And then you're like, okay, well, then what happened? So Cleveland made it in 2022. Who was the AL Central's representative in 2021? Was it the Guardians again? No. They, in particular, and this is another interesting thing about this, is that the AL Central's essentially never, they're a huge part of this problem, Gold. They, as a division, do not return teams to the postseason. You make it your year, you fall back to 81 wins, then you get back to the postseason maybe 3 years later. And it's mostly just been the Twins and the Guardians trading places back and forth with the Royals and Tigers, not even factoring into this decision for a number of years or playing a part in this decision for a number of years. So I get that that's part of it, and maybe the fact that those teams had been so bad for so long, including Kansas City for nearly a decade, that maybe that's a part of it. I just, like, the more I think about it, I feel like getting the postseason be a real accomplishment.
Well, sure. I mean,
rather than like talking about it from the disappointment end, I'm going to be really impressed with this team's ability to get back to the postseason, considering everything I know they're working against historically, which is you are almost twice as likely to miss the playoffs historically than you are to make it.
Right. But your expectation is still for them to do that or win the division, right? Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's,
I not win the division. I don't know if I'm there. I think they can win the division. I'd like them to compete for the division, but just be in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'll be thrilled if they're back in the postseason, but I think the bar has been raised, and maybe you think the bar is raised just by saying you expect them to be in the postseason. That's fair. I think the bar is raised for me that they should be truly competing for a division title and be right there. And they were pretty darn close last year. If Vinny doesn't get hurt, it's still a big what if. I don't know. If he doesn't get hurt,
they got so much worse offensively when he got hurt.
And well, then freak injury for a week too. The whole team, I feel like, was just a mess.
Was it the Urseg play? Is that,
that's what got him hurt? Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. And Urseg felt terrible about it. Remember at the time?
Yeah, it's a freak injury.
It's a fluky play. Yeah, it was a fluky play.
He still got the piece of metal from the surgery. Yeah, honestly, it's pretty impressive. He got back on the field.
Yes. Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
I can't believe he came back.
That was a big deal at the time. Now, I know in the postseason, he would tell you, you know, he didn't perform the way he was hoping to perform. He clearly was still hurt. He still had still had metal in his finger. But
that's the funny thing. People are never going to use excuses, because, like, we heard Brett Veach talk about Travis Kelce and said he was really sick. He was battling a severe illness, I think is the way Brett Veach put it, in the Super Bowl. Not heard that from Travis Kelce. He's not here to make excuses. Vinny would never be like, my thumb stopped me from playing good baseball in the postseason. You just be like, I didn't perform well enough. Mm-hmm. I still should have hit. I was good enough to be on a field, and I'm good enough to hit, which is generally, I feel like, athletes' perspective on it, which is a good one. That's the way I think high-level competitors treat it.
Let's talk more about this conversation as our Royals insider Josh Vernier is going to join us from Arizona. His Hot Stove Show comes your way tomorrow night at 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern, we were just talking about the history of, even with the expanded postseason, you know, 50% of the teams that made the playoffs in 2023 missed the following year, just how difficult it is to get back there. But I said to Cody, like, my expectation is still playoffs, and honestly, my expectation is for them to have a real chance to compete for a division title this year. Where are you at, knowing that history would tell you most teams don't go to the postseason in back-to-back years unless you're, you know, the Dodgers or the Yankees and some of these larger payrolls?
Well, I think you look around the division, and with three of the five teams making it to October a season ago, we know one of them is likely to return coming up in 2025. No, I think that should be the expectation. That's certainly the expectation that the organization put forth throughout the offseason. And, you know, juxtaposed to the rest of the teams in the American League Central, I don't believe there was a squad as aggressive as Kansas City. Detroit made an offer at Alex Bregman. They bring in a Jack Flaherty and a Gleyber Torres, but them falling short of a Bregman, to me, gives the crown of the offseason champions in the division to the Kansas City Royals. Listen, it's tough to do it again, but, you know, when I look at Cleveland, I think this is a conversation they should be having. Sure, they still have a terrific bullpen, but without Shane Bieber for most of the season, losing their protection for Jose Ramirez. Honestly, I don't know why anyone would pitch to Jose Ramirez this season with Carlos Santana hitting behind him instead of a guy in Josh Naylor. Minnesota could be that team that knocks out a Cleveland, that knocks Detroit out, but the difficulty of going to the postseason back-to-back years in no way has me trepidatious about my expectations for this team. Are there concerns? You know, is this going to be a battle of attrition? It normally is over the course of 162, especially when you're in the division where, again, four teams, four cities, I would have to believe, all think that they're going to, you know, taste that sweet nectar of October baseball. Twins, Guardians, Royals, Tigers. That's the expectation in all four camps.
Too early to probably know yet for sure, Vern, but I'm guessing the biggest pitfall concern is, other than injury, which is the obvious thing, is maybe the lineup 5 through 9? Like, is that the weakest part of the team right now?
Yeah. I don't think there's much debate about that. And that's why we're seeing Michael Massey and Jonathan India get this opportunity in left field. Now, do I really believe that the organization wants to throw a second baseman in left field, whether it's the maybe less athletic Jonathan India or the lesser of the two arms and Michael Massey? No, I don't think they want to do that, but they acknowledge what you just mentioned. The weak link of this team is the offense. The thing that dragged this team down quite often last season was every hitter not named Bobby, Vinny, or Salvi. But listen, you know, if MJ gets off to another slow start, that opens the door for Michael Massey in left field. If Hunter Renfroe struggles in right, okay, you move MJ over to right, and then, you know, whichever second baseman isn't at second, that's the guy that we see in left field. So I feel like they have more protection in case Michael Garcia, MJ Melendez, or Hunter Renfroe have their inconsistent April, May, June starts to the season. I feel like they're better protected for disappointment than they have been in the previous few seasons, right? We're not evaluating like we were in 2023. It's not MJ's job the way that it was in 2024. Only thing that we know, you know, Jonathan India is in the lineup every single day and hitting at the top. Now, is he at second? Is he at third? Is he in left? The question will ultimately come down to who else is hitting. Massey, MJ, Hunter Renfroe, Michael Garcia. You're going to see, I would have to believe, a better offense this season. But the question is, you know, let's say that India and Massey get off to a nice start. Are they building this team from where they were last season, or are they offsetting the understandable regression from a 34, 35-year-old Salvador Perez, from a Vinny Pasquantino, can he put up the kind of numbers that he did last season? To answer your question, yes, that is the weak link of this team, but I obviously believe they have far more depth this season than they did over the past two campaigns.
I was going to ask you about Salvi. You referenced him just there in passing. You know, he's going to be 35 in early May. Last year, I don't want to say a resurgence, but he certainly put together a great year and had some of his best numbers in a couple of years. Silver Slugger Award winner as well. How has he looked, and is there any reason to be concerned that, hey, Father Time, this is the year?
No, I have no concern other than history, right?
Gotcha.
No concern other than exactly what you're talking about, Father Time being undefeated. Now, it's wild, actually, watching Salvi inside the clubhouse as, you know, the veteran that Edinson Volquez is hanging out with. There are some other former Royals greats in the building. James Shields is back. Your boy Joaquin Soria is back. Can they all, you know, kind of find themselves to Salvi's locker and talk about the old days? But I'll tell you what, man, it's wild watching Salvi on these backfields for a guy that, yes, I understand, you know, he's the captain, he's the future Hall of Famer, he's probably the second greatest Royal career that we've ever seen thus far. But his relentless encouragement of his teammates, his constant prodding to, you know, take that rep better, go harder on the base pass. It doesn't matter what day you show up out here in Arizona. If you're on the backfields, I promise you'll hear the 34-year-old voice of Salvador Perez still as loud as the guy that I started covering, you know, 13 years ago. The guy that was just bringing a different type of energy. Now that energy and that voice carry so much more weight, and the way that he uses it is endlessly impressive.
You went back and you had mentioned Michael Massey out there in left field. How did you think the debut out there went?
I thought he looked terrific. Now, he had, three opportunities, three fly balls. The first two ended up in the mitt. The second ended up banging off the wall as he took a questionable route on, a fly ball that was, as they tend to, bend towards the foul line out there in left. And look, he just needs reps. But to me, he is a slightly better athlete, slightly looser hips than Jonathan India. I thought he looked adequate out there. But again, like I said yesterday, MJ Melendez is still the better athlete of the three. I think is still the better left fielder of the three. And again, you know, Michael Massey getting those opportunities yesterday out here in a spring training game, his first real competition in the outfield since he was a little kid. So I am going to obviously grade them on a curve, but I thought Massey looked comfortable and certainly looked well prepared. You guys have talked to him enough. He is a dirtbag in the best possible way. He eats, breathes, and sleeps and thinks baseball 24/7. You're not going to catch him flat-footed, and you're certainly not going to catch him make the same mistake twice. So the questionable route, the banana route that he took to the ball yesterday, although understandable for your first time out, I don't think we'll see that again. I was encouraged with what I saw from Michael.
I always view it as like, for a guy who approached the team first about left field, there's no way he's not going to bust his ass to do it, you know? Like,
yeah.
They didn't even ask him yet. He's like, hey, I'll play left. And you're like, whoa, we weren't even asking you to. Like, I'll go to the outfield, whatever you need. That, to me, is usually a pretty good indicator of a guy who's going to, like, get way better as the season goes.
Yeah, and a guy that understands, as we've, you know, it's become kind of a theme of this camp, you know, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get my name in the lineup, get my name in that 26-man roster and help this team get back to the postseason. I was listening to a very colorful James Shields give a little pep talk to the clubhouse earlier today. And, man, the focus was on the postseason, being the best teammate that you can possibly be and truly giving a blank about the guy next to you in the dugout, in the locker room. Truly investing in the team, in your teammates, in the organization. Again, man, it's I'm not going to say it's 2015. It's, you know, those guys were out to kill people. Mm-hmm. They wanted blood in 2015, but it's not far from that. I would say the only difference is they're just a lot younger. You know, Bobby's too sweet to want blood. You know, but when Hosmer and Moose and Gordo showed up, man, those guys were killers. There's a killer inside of Bob. He just doesn't let you see it all that often.
Before we let you go, just a random question, no reason at all. Have you ever sat on a plane next to a dead person while you were flying?
I don't think so, but going into the 2015 ALDS in Houston, flying down there on my birthday, the day before my birthday is my wife's birthday, we went out and got trashed. And I'm sitting there between two elderly people, and the Starburst shots that we were taking the night before all of a sudden started to make an appearance. I could not get up, so I let it go into my little soda cup and then just sat there with a cup of throw-up next to these two elderly folks.
Oh. God, they must have hated you.
Oh, that's awful. No, we were saying there was a story, an actual flight, 15-hour flight from Australia to Doha, and unfortunately, 10 hours into the flight, a woman collapsed and died, but they put the corpse...
Oh, my gosh.
It's awful.
But they covered her with a blanket.
They covered her with a blanket, and they put her in an open seat next to a couple that had to sit next to this corpse for 4 hours.
Oh, my stance for... is that if you that they should move the body to the emergency exit row. You signed up for this speech and to help in an emergency. Get your ass next to the dead body.
And have the but they have to confirm. Like the dead person would have to say, yes, I can open this door.
Verbal confirmation. Yeah, you need verbal confirmation. That's true. That's true. We were just going through all the scenarios. Do you think they strap in the body? Like, is that thing buckled up?
Oh, yeah. You got to probably strap in the head, too, right? Or else that'll just be bobbing around like an infant.
That's no good, man. All just right, the worst case scenario.
Thanks, Vern. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go. Tomorrow night, he's got his hot stove show. 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. That Vern just throwing up in a cup and just... You got to get up and go to the bathroom, Vern, and dump the cup out. Get rid of the cup. You can't just have the throw-up cup sitting in front of you.
How close was it? That's the end of the flight.
Yeah, now look, if they're like, hey, you got to remain seated, we're landing in 20 minutes, then I get it. You probably just have to soak it up. But if you got an hour still in the flight, you got to hit the call button if you have to, like, explain, hey, I just threw up in this cup. Can I please go remove this cup? These poor people are sitting next to my throw up.
He said as an elderly couple, too, so they're probably like, oh, dearie. By the way, if that's the case, you just got to pretend like, just whatever bug guy. You can't be like, I got you drunk last night.
But you just think I'm stomach
gotta
bug.
Lie. You got to lie like, oh. Bug got me.
Bad,
I don't know.
Bad food last night. This bad morning. Oyster. Bad lunch at the airport.
Yeah. Shouldn't eat that sandwich, I guess.
Vern brings this up. I dry heaved on an airplane once in the airplane bathroom.
Drinking too much?
I didn't feel like I did. I think, yeah, like you mentioned earlier, altitude can change you. So I didn't feel like I had, it was flying back from Vegas, but
I
really didn't feel like I had much to drink. And all of a sudden I'm sitting in the plane. I'm like, oh, I feel like I need to like throw up. So I go in the bathroom. I like dry heaved and then I was good to go.
Just dry heaved, huh?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
This was probably
you.
Like 6 years ago.
Still, that's the worst feeling. Oh. Like, I'm going to puke in a bathroom.
Well, on the plane, you're just like, I got to get out of the seat and then you got to, and then, you know, the bathroom's tiny. And then also like throwing up, like it's bad enough, but like in a, you know, the thing's dirt, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like you're standing, when you puke, usually you're not standing up. So you kind of lean
or
over.
Or it's your own toilet at least, you know, it's not like. 10 stranger asses has been on it since the last time they even looked at it. Yeah. Not a good scenario.
All right, up next, we'll talk about what Brett Veach had to say. Something occurred during the Super Bowl. We didn't know. Nobody knew until now. And we'll have a random question of the day.